You are listening to the audio portion of the QB Power Hour webinar series. The QB Power Hour is a free bi-weekly webinar series for accounting professionals presented by Michelle Long and Dan DeLong, who are very passionate about the industry, QuickBooks, and apps that integrate with QuickBooks. You can find out all the details about the webinar series at qbpowerhour.com. So without further ado, here's Michelle and Dan.
Welcome everybody to another QB Power Hour. Michelle, it's so nice to see you. And this is like an annual event we're having here with Mark and Hector, like the reunion.
Yeah, it's reunion day on Power Hour. So it's a fun one today and we got lots of great stuff. So I'm very glad to have everybody joining us today after the eclipse. So I hope some of you were able to see it and made it home. I heard there were some pretty amazing traffic jams getting home, especially on the East Coast and stuff. So hopefully everybody made it home soon.
Yeah, so very interesting. There was no apocalypse. So Hector, with doing taxes, does that mean that everybody who procrastinated doing their taxes because they were expecting a cataclysmic event now?
The IRS gave us an extension just in case. They actually put it on the website, just in case the world is ending, you actually don't have to file your taxes. So
I'm going to have to get working today.
All right. We're going to play a little audible today because we have Hector and Mark joining us. And Hector loves to talk and he's got a lot of things to tell us. So we're not going to do our traditional slides and those types of things because we really want to jump right into what's changed in the right tool. Is that the way you say it? The right tool or right tool?
We say tool app, right?
Tool app.
Although it is like DC Comics. You say DC Comics, even though it's like District Comics or something like that.
Or PIN number. If you haven't joined us before, when Mark and Hector had joined us before, we'll be sharing the slides of previous QB Power Hours and other webinars that we've done with Hector and Mark about the right tool itself. But today we really want to talk about just what's changed in the last year within right tool. And that's why we wanted to have Mark and Hector come on to talk about it, because we really appreciate, I think in the general gist of things, what you do, Hector, for the accounting community and what this tool has offered the accounting community, besides the mission is saving precious seconds one click at a time. And that's really what you've done to make people or allow people to be more efficient inside of working with QuickBooks Online. Was that like the catalyst for all of this? Because you guys are like the odd couple of accounting. I'm not going to say who's Felix and who's Oscar here, but this is really a unique pairing of the two of you.
Yeah, I think Mark and I both share the same vision that accountants should concentrate on doing good accounting and not in clicking in a million buttons to process one transaction or clicking 100 things to be able to reclassify or change the payee on a particular group of transactions. And we're going to showcase towards the end of this webinar, it would be a good capstone, course on right tool, because there's so many moving parts on the new reallocate tool that we built. It encapsulates all the power of what a third party tool can do. And only a small, scrappy team of developers can build this quickly and efficient versus waiting for QuickBooks to build it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to share my screen.
Yep.
Mark, I'll let you add any notes that you may have to that. We do have a full set of slides. So if you share the slides, Dan, we'll just skip the introductions. We're going to be covering a couple of things here. So first of all, how do you get started with right tool? We want to get everybody started, at least with a free version. We strongly believe that if you get accustomed to using the free version, you see all the efficiency improvements from the free version. And there's tons of efficiency improvements on the free version. You will be more likely to upgrade to Pro sooner rather than later. So you just go to righttool.app/free. It will forward you to the Google Chrome extension landing page. You just click on Add to Chrome. It's going to work in Google Chrome. It's going to work in Microsoft Edge. It's going to be working in other Chromium-based browsers like Brave and other ones that have come out. There's so many of them. but it definitely does not work in Firefox. It definitely does not work in Safari. And it definitely, most definitely does not work with the new QBO desktop app. Okay. So if actually, if QuickBooks wants to make the QuickBooks desktop app open, but I just don't know if it was built via Chromium, but if they do want to make it open, we would gladly add a Write tool to it. Right now, the QuickBooks desktop app and Write tool plus Chrome or Write tool plus Microsoft Edge is like the competition per se. Like we're both battling for that attention, because if QuickBooks wants people not to use Write tool, they're going to continually drive people to the QBO desktop app. And it's not because they have anything against us. It's because they would like to control that experience. The QuickBooks desktop app has added a couple of extra things that makes QBO a little bit more pleasant, but I don't think it's enough to be compared with the power of Write tool if you use Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge browser. So definitely check out the free edition. We have over 10,000 downloads. I think it's like 16,000 downloads at this point. We have a full YouTube channel with over 100 videos explaining what every single feature at Write tool does, both free and pro. And we also do bimonthly, so every 2 months, a webinar series updating our users, both free and pro, of all the new things that we're adding. And in some cases, we'll showcase some beta, something we're like just thinking about, and then we get live feedback. I would say at this point, at the beginning, it was probably 80% my input, 20% Mark. At this point, it's probably 80% our users' input, and Mark and I have maybe 10% each of say of what goes or what doesn't go. Our users are telling us what they want, and this app is very much crowdsourced. So
That's one of the things that I think is from just what I've experienced, just seeing as the Write tool app has grown, is the rapid iteration that you guys are able to do. I would see Hector post, Mark, make this happen, and then 5 minutes later,
not five minutes, but see most software companies, they'll have an idea, they'll have a beta, and then they'll have a focus group, and then they'll try to figure out if it's a good idea or a bad idea. In this case, we're seeing live reactions from our users from the suggestions. And sometimes I'll do like a screenshot of a mock-up and I go, hey, would this work? And people go, wait, I don't get it. Why would the button be on the left or the right? So a lot of this stuff is being happening on the fly with the users. And the way we interact with the users, there's some emails, but the most part is the Facebook group. So if you haven't joined, first of all, get Write tool if you don't have it, even if it's a free version, and then log into the Write tool QuickBooks online users group, because tons of ideas come from there. People will post, hey, I'm having this problem with QuickBooks. How would you solve it? So not even like a Write tool question. And then it gives Mark and I the opportunity to read it and go, is this something we can solve? So a lot of the solutions that we've come up with are based on like questions that weren't even about Write tool. It was more like, I'm having this issue. So we're trying as hard as possible to like instantly give instant gratification to our users, especially the pro users, about the things that they wish QuickBooks Online could do. So definitely check that out. The link to the group is in the slides. The link to the free versions and the slides, the YouTube channel, the bi-monthly webinar series. And once you decide to go to pro, it's going to be $50 a month per user or $500 a year if you pay annually. And there's no per company, per client. That's stuff that most apps do, where they charge you per client. There's no such thing. We actually don't connect to the QuickBooks files at all. We actually don't even know how many clients you have. It's just, we don't connect to QuickBooks. We work with you in your browser as a power tool, right? Like we're just a power
tool. It's not like the solar glasses that everybody had to wear yesterday for the eclipse. It goes over the top of the browser so that you can use QuickBooks safely without burning your retina.
Damn, you are so good at
like that. And there is a login or a upgrade button inside Write tool. Or you can go to writetoolpro.com/register and you can set up a 14-day free trial, risk-free for the pro edition if you want to. You don't need to register at all for the free edition. And if you have a firm with more than 20 users, we can do a custom price. Okay. Michelle, you want to add something before I jump to the demo?
Well, Hector, I was just going to say one thing. First of all, I think it's amazing. And this is where I think you guys, one of the reasons you already have 16,000 users or downloads is because you are so responsive to everybody's input and feedback and all that stuff that it does save such huge amounts of time when you're working at QuickBooks. Do you have any estimates or have people told you, gosh, this saves me X amount of hours or estimates? Do you have any kind of ballpark?
No, people say
it's hard to quantify.
A lot of people say hours. We don't have a number we can put in a marketing material the way like QuickBooks does, which I think many of those things are made up, by the way, with different issue, different conversation. But I think what's better is that people tell us, you saved me from a whole bunch of frustration, which is it's more of a qualitative term than a quantitative term. So it's, and some people are saying with right tool, it makes QuickBooks pleasant again. Maybe that could be a political thing we could do.
There we go.
QuickBooks pleasant again. Yeah, so it makes QuickBooks work pleasant again because it takes away just dreaded clicks and that sort of thing. But if I had to make a guess, I would say, and I do this based on how many users we have, how many people pay for the tool, I would say that if it didn't save you at least 2 hours a month, you wouldn't pay the $50 a month. So I would say, I will easily say, at least 2 hours. And Mark, I don't know if you have any other opinions on that, but I would say about that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's across the board. Yeah, some people, they're like, oh yeah, it only saves me like a few minutes here and there, but I'm so glad that it exists. But then there are some people who are like, oh yeah, I used batch enter or something like that, especially people who like batch entering things oftentimes will tell me it's like, oh yeah, it saved me like 10 hours of work this month. So it is really across the board, depending on how you use it.
Yeah, and some people are saying, hey, I'm so glad I didn't have to buy Sasant or Transaction Pro for this one specific task. So we're not a full replacement for Sasant or Transaction Pro at all. We're not even close to. But the most common thing, like importing journal entries, is something that we solved early on, which is a good transition to make. So I'm very happy to announce that, not related to Right Tool at all, QuickBooks has finally started bringing in journal entry imports into QuickBooks Online natively. So no need for a third-party app, okay? Like half of my clients' files have it. And 2 weeks ago, only two of my clients' files had it. So it looks like they're going to be done phasing this thing in very soon. And I'm going to showcase how this works. So we're going to talk about the built-in journal entry tool inside QuickBooks, journal entry import inside QuickBooks Online. I'm calling it a beta. They are not calling it a beta, but I'm calling it a beta just because it just came out. And generally, you can't really give QuickBooks credit for not calling the first iterations of their things not a beta, because most of the times they are betas. But it's worked pretty well. So if you actually know the direct URL, you can just paste it in there and it will open up the journal entry for you. As I mentioned earlier in the slides, you go into the slides. There's the journal entry, the direct URL, if you want to copy and paste that. Add it to your favorites, whatever it happens to be. And also worth mentioning, you can get to it if it's enabled in your file. You can click on the gear menu, top right of the screen, and then you can click on where it says import data. And then there should be a new icon under import data called journal entry. So again, this is built into QuickBooks Online. You don't need a third-party app. We just need to make sure that all of the files have it. Okay, all versions. We're talking about Simple Start, Plus, Essentials. As far as I know, this is a new feature that works across the board, all QuickBooks files. Thank God they didn't just add it to Advanced, because that would have made me strangle somebody over it.
That would go under the Hector bunker.
That would drive me flipping bunkers, correct. So what's really cool about this page is you get this download import guide, which is a PDF. It's like a little cheat sheet. I think it's awesome, especially if you're training someone on this tool. It gives you a really good visual letting, hey, this is what all the fields that can be imported into. And then it makes it very obvious for you to know how you can map your existing spreadsheet to that. Okay, so this is what it looks like now. So this would be like a reference guide you would print out or something like that. The other really cool thing that it does is it allows you to download a sample CSV. The sample CSV is, it could be opened in Excel, just a normal spreadsheet file. There's a couple of particularities on this sample CSV. Let me zoom in so you can see a little bit better. Particularity number one worth mentioning is there are asterisks on each of the fields that are required. So the only required fields are journal entry number, journal entry date, and the account name. Okay, debits and credits are not required, but it would be useless to have a journal entry without them. But they're technically not required because they don't have an asterisk. on them. The other thing is worth mentioning is there is a tax code column in it. This is because they're porting this over from the UK and Canada, because UK and Canada both had this feature for 9 years. So this is what I mean by beta. It means that they like half implement something and then somebody goes on vacation and they forget that the tax code is irrelevant for the US. So the template itself has this, and then there's some notes about VAT codes. Of course, this is very obvious that they took the sort of copy and paste the UK code, put it in the US and started releasing it to the users. So you're going to delete this extra data that's in here because you actually don't need that. So you just delete that extra data. And you delete the tax code because you're not going to use the tax code. Of course, at some point, hopefully in the near future, they'll fix this and then it will make this conversation obsolete. I would very much like that. But for now, just giving you some usefulness on this thing. The second particularity on the built-in template is that the journal entry date is pre-formatted with the UK format. Okay, so don't ask again, why did they do this? QuickBooks, please. It's so easy to do the right thing, but I don't know. You get tempted to just
pass
all these things. Yeah.
As a developer, I do get the date thing. It is the most annoying thing on the face of the planet.
Hopefully they're fixing this as we speak, and or maybe there's different versions out there. Like mine does that, but somebody else's won't. Who the heck knows? So you want to make sure that you have the dating correct, or that you, when you do the mapping, you do the correct format. The date is not required on rows 2 and below for every journal entry. So you could leave a blank. You could also have a date there, but keep in mind that it actually ignores it. Okay. So you could leave a blank, or you can put it across. What you can't skip is the journal entry number. The way QuickBooks knows that every line belongs to the same journal entry is if they have the same number. So having the same number is how you tell it, especially if you have multiple journal entries per entry. You could just import a single one, but you could also import multiple. Now, there's no limit on how many journal entries you can import, but there's a total of 1,000 lines that you can import. So then technically there would be a limit of 500 journal entries with two lines. Sorry, yeah. So there is a mathematical limit. So the mathematical limit is 1,000 lines, which if you only had two lines per journal entry, which is the minimum, then you will have 500 journal entries total. But the 1,000 lines is the true entry. Then you have an account number. You can either put the account number by itself, or you can put the account name by itself. The whole thing goes haywire when there's both account names and account numbers. This is something that's just difficult to manage because QuickBooks Online is very inconsistent on how they do account numbering. Systems with, especially with sub accounts, and Mark is shaking his head because for other tools, we've had to manipulate this whole account number issue. So that's really all you need to know. The thing that I dislike about the sample is the sample doesn't give you like your own account number or your own classes or your own locations. It just gives you random data. So I couldn't import the sample, which is different than the balance sheet sample, because in QuickBooks Online, sorry, not the balance sheet, the budget. If you export a budget example template in QuickBooks Online, it gives you your actual data. So it would be interesting if QuickBooks were able to dynamically just grab random accounts and random classes and random names and put them in there so that journal entry looks like something like it's your data. But for now, this is just a template you can look at and use as a guiding principle to build your own journal entry. So that being said, I'm going to go ahead and delete all this data. Okay. And then I'm going to use current data from my QuickBooks file to build the journal entry in Excel to use it as a sort of starting point for building the journal entry prior to bringing it into QuickBooks. Okay. So let's say I'm just going to grab a couple of accounts here at random. Okay. I'm going to grab a couple of accounts. We'll do some with sub accounts, some without. Okay. And I'm just going to ask you to like imagine the journal entry being a lot longer. So it makes sense why we would use import instead of just typing it manually, okay? There will be tons of reasons why somebody would prefer to bring it via import instead of manually, mostly just trying to generally just avoid errors as a whole. So that could be one of the reasons, but there's so many. So just imagine this is the journal entry we're trying to import. So I'll just copy this information over So I'm going to start with journal entry number. I'm going to call this HG040924. And then I'm going to copy and paste this journal entry number down across the six lines that I want to have for the same journal entry. For the date, I'll put today's date. Okay, and I'll copy this down. I don't click and drag because it'll change them for me. But like I said, you can have them in there or you can just have it on the very first line. Then the account name, this is where I'm going to bring the information that's in here. So this one is savings. This one is automobile. This one is job expenses. Okay, pub quiz. What would be a faster way for me to get those account names into the spreadsheet?
Something in Write Tool.
Without Write Tool.
Just export the report or the journal entry.
Exactly. So I would go into transaction journal. Yeah, transaction journal. If it already exists, you got it.
Had me sweating 100 there.
Points. Yeah, exactly. So you would export the transaction journal, whether it's the new reports or the classic reports. Export this to a CSV or to an Excel, and then just use the data that's already in there and paste it. Now I'm going to go ahead and. Let me just zoom this in for a second. I'm going to go ahead and bring it in this way with the account numbers, just so we can see if there's any weird sort of interaction with this, with the account numbers. So I'm just going to paste that in there, including the account numbers. And then again, if we have any issues with the account numbers being in there, we'll play with it. It'll be nice for us to have that information handy. Okay, so I'm going to put 500, and then... 250, 50, and 1,000. Okay. All right. So again, the date format, I'm using the actual American date format. What I was telling you is the template comes in weird European format. And I call it weird, where the rest of the world calls us weird, but a different issue. But in the European format, you can put it there on your normal format. And then just when you map it, you just tell it which format you're using.
And I think Michael McClellan said that his version does have the actual normal United States format.
Yeah, exactly.
So it might be, depending on what your sample ends up being, you probably want to adjust for whatever that is.
It could just be classic QuickBooks having different versions of QuickBooks for different people type of thing. Okay. So I'm going to put in my customer information. And same thing, if you want to bring class and locations, let's just do here, the new construction class. So we'll copy this over and bring that over here. Okay. So you can also delete any columns you're not using. So if you're not using location, you can delete that. You don't have to have data that you're not going to import. And essentially, this is what your template would look like. Take a picture with your phone. Okay. And then once you have it all ready in here, okay, and notice that there's a master memo line and a description line. This is interesting. So a description would be each of the lines of the journal entry, and the memo would just be the memo at the very bottom, which is this guy over here, the bottom memo. So you actually, memo is one of those things that you also don't need to repeat across multiple lines. So this would be bottom memo, something like that. And just like the dates, you actually don't need to have the dates past the very first line. So the memo column and the journal entry are the two that you only need to have the first line set up. Okay. So now that we have our journal in here, we have to save it as a PDF. Sorry, did I say PDF? I'm crazy.
You did.
You have to save it.
Like what?
Yeah. You have to save it as a CSV. Okay. I knew it was three letters, but I got the three letters wrong. So you have to save it as a CSV. I don't
even
think
close.
But I got the number of letters right. So we're going to click on the gear menu, go to import data, and then go to journal entries. And then we're going to click on browse, and we're going to go find that journal. And of course, I don't remember where I put the journal, so let me put it in the desktop. Save this again, put this in the desktop, save. Okay. And then come back into QuickBooks, pick my desktop. There's my journal. Then when I click on next, it's going to ask me to map it. Now, what's nice about this is because I used the headers from the template, then I don't have to remap it. So if you have your own spreadsheet that it didn't use, then you have to come in here and make sure you match this up. So which is my journal entry number, which is my date. But of course, I already had the headers in my template. That's the advantage of using the template as the baseline. And here is the formatting for the date. So if you happen to be using non-weird, just different European dating style, you can just pick those here. Okay. So then we're going to go to next. And then, of course, books, the actual export of the account name exactly as they've chosen the reports is not acceptable in the import. Okay. Again, because QuickBooks, it's just such a weird. Okay.
That's
a
beginning right? day today.
Yeah. So the solution for this is going to be either just removing account numbers altogether or just using the names without the account numbers. So I'm going to go in. Actually, I'm going to delete all the account numbers here. So I'm deleting all the account numbers, and notice I'm deleting them both from the beginning of the account name and also from every sub account. Okay. And I know some people are saying, Hector, at this point, I would have just written 20 journal entries by hand by now. Yeah, I understand. But sometimes we have reallocation journal entries. We have payroll job costing journal entries. You may have all sorts of like long and complex journal entries that we're already getting this data from third-party apps. And hopefully they're bringing you clean accounts and clean customer names and that sort of thing. So we're going to save this as, we'll do journal entry number 2. And exactly what I did, just a recap, what I did was I removed all the account numbers. And also I removed the spaces between the columns and the accounts. Just remember that. Sometimes those are hard to remember. Sometimes as you're cleaning up, you forget to delete those spaces. I know Mark and I have gone through our fair share of growing pains with that, with importing and that sort of thing. Okay, so we'll go back here, bring the new journal entry in, click on next. Let's go to next. And now it says the accounts don't exist. Why are you being such a weirdo, QuickBooks? Okay, let's try doing the following.
It's not the fact that they're sub-account.
Yeah, you'll see. I'm going to go to the gear menu and go to account and settings. I'm going to go into advanced, and then I'm going to go into account numbers and disable them. Okay. Now that's not going to delete them from your database. Thank God. But
it's hiding.
I don't know where I read somewhere. It's actually not here, but it's in a link somewhere where they're suggesting to turn off account numbers. Again, we mentioned at the beginning, account numbers are going to throw you off in this whole thing. So we'll go to next. And okay, let's see. Let's try this again. Let's go to browse, journal number 2, next. Let's go to next. And why are these accounts? Why does it tell me these accounts don't exist? All right, I'll try one more thing here. We're going to go back and let's go to somebody's saying, hey, you just turned off account numbers. Maybe you should do like a whole refresh of QuickBooks. That's a good idea. Should I log out, log back in? Let's just see really quick.
This is an interesting development. Hector stumped himself.
Yeah, the account number
showing
the
immovable
here.
Object and unstoppable force have collided. Yeah, and we.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do something that's even more quirky, which is probably gonna work. And let me turn. Okay, so I didn't fully turn off the account numbers. Give me a second. Say you and Hector Garcia are working on this at the same time.
This
yeah, my alter ego.
Your evil twin.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, let me.
That's Hector with the goatee.
All right, I'm going to log out for a second, log back in. Okay. QuickBooks went haywire with me changing account numbers. Okay, so I'll log back in. We'll
see because they're trying to fix it while you're talking.
Right,
about
of course.
It.
They noticed me criticizing it at the very beginning and they're like, okay, of course. Hector, the royalty, let's fix it for him. Sure. In my dreams.
That's what I do when we're on these webinars. So.
Okay, let's see. All right. Okay, so now officially it's turned off. So that could have been part of the issue. It didn't fully refresh turning off the account numbers. I think this should work now. Let's see. And by the way, this should work now. It's my new slogan. I'm getting a shirt done out of it. We're going to sell them in conferences. They're going to sell out. All right, there you go. So finally imported. So by the way, so let's just backtrack for a second. You want to turn off the account numbers. And you want to fix the chart of accounts, so the accounts, so they don't contain the numbers. That's going to be the easiest way to go about it. I just happen to have not fully saved or wait for it to refresh and recognize account numbers disappearing. So I click on complete import. It does this thing. You can click on the link And then it sends you, for some reason, it sends you to some sort of report, okay, that's useless. So we're just going to click on the recent transactions button in going to journal.
I bet in the international versions, it actually would take you somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it should work. That shirt's going to catch on. It's going to be it should work this time. Okay. So here's the journal entry. See how it came in? It's actually wonderful. It's a great, beautiful thing. Might be worth live troubleshooting this. Did I put classes across all lines? I did not. Okay. So it was just my journal entry didn't contain classes across all lines. It actually did exactly what we wanted to do. There it is. New journal entry import. It actually works really well. My opinion, I think it's 95% there. I think some clarity around the templates and around the account numbers would be helpful. One thing I do want to add, and this might be to my detriment, because there would be some element of winging it in the process here. I'm going to save and open the account numbers one more time. I'm going to click on chart of accounts. Let me hit refresh, make sure the chart of accounts comes in. Hit refresh one more time. And again, I might have to log out, log back in. Let's do a hard refresh. Okay. No. Okay. Note to self. If you ever turn off and turn on a chart account numbers, log out of QuickBooks, log back in, because for some reason it doesn't work quite immediately. Okay. So let's log back in. And we're going to try one more thing. And this is mostly for the sake of just like live troubleshooting how you can manage this chart of account numbers situation. I'm going to show you one thing that kind of worked for us. So I'm going to show you live on the screen on. Okay, so we're going to try two options here. So option number one, and let me open up the other journal entry that I had. Here we go. Okay, let's X out the one that didn't have the numbers. Let's zoom in and see the whole thing. So option number one, I am going to try only removing the accounts from the account numbers from the one that have sub accounts. But it's going to be even weirder. I'm going to replace the number at the very beginning with the one that was the sub account. Dan, can you follow that? Because if you can't, that means I didn't explain it correctly. Okay.
Yes. Right. You're going to take 54520 and put it in the front of job expense.
Exactly. And by the way,
when
somebody at Intuit was thinking about this, saying, this is a great solution for users, by the way, this is awesome. I'm sure a lot of users are going to love going back and copying and pasting the account number from the front to the back. Can you imagine what they were smoking when that happened? When they all shaked their hands together and said, this is a good idea. All right. Anyway, so I'll import this one to 410 and then I'm going to save. So this is the first attempt that we're going to try. We're going to use the lowest level account number all the way in the top and then erase after the one account number, the accounts afterwards. And Mark, prevent me from a catastrophe if I forgot something in the process, or was my logic right from the beginning?
I'm not going to lie to you. I was answering a question in the
okay,
question.
No problem. All right, no problem. All right. So there it is. There's a demonstration of how that works. So QuickBooks will allow me to use account numbers if, again, only the lowest level account number is used at the very beginning. And then we'll try one more thing, which actually I have not tested.
Do you still need to use the hierarchy of the parent sub, or could you
That's what I'm about. That's about to show. So instead of having any accounts, I'm just going to do account number. That makes sense. So only account number. We'll see if that one goes through. That one, to be honest with you, I have not tested this one, but my spider senses tell me that this should work. But let's give that a shot. Let's save that. And let's go back into journal entry, browse, and let's try just account numbers and go to next. Okay. There's the conclusion, folks. You have to either turn off your account numbers completely and remove account numbers from the hierarchy of your template, or turn on account numbers and use that weird workaround where you have to use the actual last account or lowest hierarchy account as the account number and then erase it from the rest of the path. Okay. So any thoughts or conclusions or a sense of amazement on how well designed this tool is?
Oh boy.
Honestly, if every time I look at QuickBooks, I honest to God think, man, I wish I could live up to this. And actually, you know what's funny is I do very much actually have very much respect for the people who develop books. Now, admittedly, I like their old system a little bit better for QuickBooks Online rather than their new system for things, but that's just a me thing personally.
I think the good thing is there's actually more and more Intuit employees watching webinars, Facebook groups, these type of things. So this is an amazing passive aggressive way to give feedback, where we just show people how frustrating it is in public and they go, yeah, you know what? We should fix it. So I guarantee you somebody will watch this and they'll come up with a solution for this. So in about 2 to 3 decades, you will see an update and you'll see this issue fixed. All right. So let's move on.
That was passive aggressive too.
Exactly. All right. So we're going to move on to the solutions that we have built with WriteTool. There's actually two sets worth discussing. One is the free features in WriteTool that are related to journal entries. We're going to be focused on journal entries 100%. And then there's going to be three pro features related to journal entries. So we're going to turn on journal entry print, export journal entry to CSV, journal entry balance visual, and show journal entry normal balances. Now, I believe one of these two was Mark's baby. This was developed maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Was that the journal entry balance visual or the normal balances, correct?
The normal balances as well as the journal entry print, but mostly the normal balances. The print was just more of some people asked for it. And I was like, you know what? I'll do it. And that was before we started working on WriteTool.
Exactly. So let's talk about those. So two actually were brought in from Mark's already pre-developed idea. And then two were added in the process of WriteTool existing. Let's call it that. Okay. So once WriteTool is turned on, and again, these are available in the free version. You don't have to pay anything. You're going to click on that little toolbox icon. I don't even know what to call that. Wrench and what's the best way to call that?
Wrench and screwdriver tools.
Yeah. The wrench and screwdriver icon. So my screen got zoomed in and I forgot how to zoom it out.
We're cyber workers, not physical workers.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Okay, talk amongst yourself. My Mac went crazy.
I was just posting on here. I love that it didn't work right the first time, because when you're importing, I don't think it ever does, or very rarely does. So I love how you see the troubleshooting. Let me try this. Let me try that. Let's try this. Because a lot of times when you're importing data, it does not work right the first time. And you do have to troubleshoot until you get it correct. And so that is the process with importing data a lot of times. And I think that was a good learning process to try different things and don't just give up. And somebody says, oh, why are you going through all this for one journal entry? Usually if you're importing journal entries, you're not just importing one journal entry. Like Hector said, you're importing payroll. You're going to be importing payroll journal entries all year long. You know, so yes, you may have to troubleshoot the first time, but once you get the format figured out and you get it, you know, troubleshoot and figured out, then the rest of the year, you're going to be good to go. So yeah, you wouldn't do this for one JE, but it's a process the first time that pays off the rest of the year, that, you know.
And that's typically what's going to happen. It's a great point, Michelle. It's typically what's going to happen when you introduce some kind of new technology inside of QuickBooks, is that you're going to shift your workload to the front end of setting it up right. And once you have that, then it's like an oil geyser, right? It's okay, payday after that. So once you have that things mapped, formatted, or something like that, then the payoff is going to be the countless times after that that you won't have to do all that, or that workload that you were typically doing by doing it manually by typing in the journal entry from scratch.
And that's where that Facebook group and the community and Mark and Hector are great resources to help. Hey, I can't get this to import. Can somebody help me? What am I doing wrong? You're not alone. That's one of the great things about having a community of your peers to help you as well.
Okay. I think I'm back. You can see my screen and it's working correctly.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Give me 1 second. Okay. All right. So now we're going to click on the wrench and screwdriver. And then on the search settings, I'm just going to type journal entry. Okay. And then basically it's going to give me all the things that contain the word journal entry, either in the description or in the name of the tool itself. So we're going to turn on extended print options, export journal entry to CSV, journal entry balance, and I think it was the normal balances. And that was actually not showing there. Why is that?
I have to change the text. I'll change that right now.
Okay. No, but so change the text. So it actually says journal entry, not JE. Okay. So that's the search actually searches within the name of those. So now I'm going to go back and open up a journal entry. And you're going to see once you turn these features on, you're going to see new buttons pop up in the journal entry. Let me just refresh here for a second. And those buttons indicate the new features that have been enabled. So one is I'm going to go ahead and select a couple of accounts. So I'm just going through and writing a normal journal entry the way I would do that. And then sometimes like we're looking at a journal entry and we'll forget for a second, is this an asset? Is this a liability? Is this an expense? And you have to go in and you have to look at that. And on top of that, you have to remember which is a debit and which is a credit. So this little button up there that has the top and the down arrow, click on that. It gives you basically a little phantom cheat sheet where it basically reminds you what type of account this is. If this is normally a debit account or a credit account. I know we're all accountants, so we're supposed to memorize this, but sometimes it's a really nice thing to have in there. So as you write the journal entry and you're putting here, yeah, I'm trying to increase my accounts payable. And yes, I'm trying to reduce my checking account and have to reduce my student subscriptions. And I'm trying to increase my interest expense. So just having the arrows there showing you what things are supposed to be, it's just a good indication of how you're going to function moving forward. Okay. So now once you finish the journal entry and or you try to save the journal entry, usually you get an error saying the debits and the credits don't balance. So the second feature that we added adds a little equal sign down here and it tells you how much you're off by. Okay, so it's just basically just it's a quick reminder, hey, you're off by this. This is why it's not working. And essentially then you'll know to take that number and put it here to remind you to basically wrap up your journal entry. So once you save your journal entry, and let's just make sure I'll put a different account that's not receivable or payable. And then I saved my journal entry and there's a couple things happening. Okay. So I saved my journal entry. Now let's say I want to print this. Okay? QuickBooks Online doesn't let you print journal entries. So we're going to click on Write Tool Print. And then this is going to give me a new screen that we created, that Write Tool created, that essentially gives you a quick preview of what this would look like. And you can save this journal entry as a PDF somewhere in your computer. So we basically developed our own version of journal entries. Let me bring it here. So you can see what it looks like in PDF format. You can print that. Again, this only works with tool enabled. And again, the free version. So you get to print your own journal entries. There's a setting that allows you to print it in landscape format if you also have customer names, locations, and it's just not enough space to have it in regular format, in portrait format. Yes. Okay. And the last thing here that we haven't covered. Okay. Yes. Export to CSV. So if I click on the export to CSV button all the way in the top, it creates a CSV file for me. Let me bring this around here and I'm going to zoom this in 200% so you can see it. And good news, okay, this export, like the Write Tool export to CSV, exports the account numbers in the actual format that would work via an import. So the built-in reports in QuickBooks don't do that, but this CSV file does that. Why is that? Who in the world knows? We basically just copy and paste the information as is displayed on the screen. Now, to be fair, I could argue either way why I want to see those account numbers or not. It's a different issue altogether. But because it's not really consistent for import, at least our CSV export, as the way the tool is built now, the built-in import tool, it allows you to import that, okay? And then again, right here in the bottom, it says Write Tool Print. It's to the left of the reverse button. That one's not red. Usually our buttons are red, but this is an example of a non-red Write Tool button, one of the few that we don't put in red.
They don't let you touch the footer.
Yeah, well, the footer, it's just the contrast would be very difficult. Like it would be very difficult to put red on black. So the only solution would be to put an like a print icon up there. But we've had so many issues with having just so many icons up there and the feedback buttons and stuff getting in the way. So this is working for now, the right tool print. So we're not gonna mess with it. Okay.
And one more thing, by the way, on that last one that you had on that last journal entry, one of the things about the journal balance that is at least one of my favorite things about it, and it's a small thing, but what you'll notice is if you change like the opening balance equity, if you change it to, yeah, that is fine. And then go into the interest expense.
Yeah.
And then space all of it. It will actually, just delete it. You'll actually have a placeholder in there that will tell you what that particular amount needs to be in order to balance it out. So it just makes it so that it's, because at the bottom it says 200,000, but if you're editing something after the fact, this gives you a little bit more insight without having to do calculations on what you actually need to put in. So just a little phantom total.
So a quick recap, if I want to adjust any of these numbers and I delete it,
okay, or it should
not delete backspace.
It should backspace. Now, apparently, it didn't want to do it this particular time for some reason. Oh, okay. I get
because
why.
It's because debit. It's debit needed.
Okay. Yeah. So if I, and the other cool thing is that if I delete a journal entry with this feature enabled, I delete a journal entry line, the little phantom grayed out amount that shows in there, that 155 is actually what you would need to balance that journal entry out. So it's not only in the bottom with equals, it's also on the live preview of any of the fields. It doesn't have to be like the last blank field or anything like that, which is awesome. Thank you very much, Mark, for bringing that feature in. Okay, we don't have that much time, so we're going to cover as much as possible from the pro features. Okay, so the pro features that we're going to showcase in this case is going to be the copy Excel to transactions, the clear zero lines button, and there is one more in Experiments Pro, reallocate in P&L. Okay, so we're going to click and save that. Then we're going to go back into QuickBooks Online and showcase those additional Write Tool Pro features for journal entry. So the first one that's probably the most obvious one to showcase is getting rid of zero lines. So like in this case, you see there's two lines with zeros. And of course, if you have one or two, it's quicker to just click on the little trash icon. But if you had a very long journal entry, maybe you import it, maybe you duplicated it, maybe you reversed it, whatever it is. If it has a zero, you just click on that button there that says clear zero value lines, and it somehow deletes the two for you. It just leaves them blank. But once you click on save, it should delete the lines out. So it leaves them blank. You click on save and it just gets rid of those lines. Okay. Many people had asked us to like the ability to resort in journal entries. We don't have that yet. We're still trying to figure out if we even can do that. But that has been one of the most requested features, is to be able to resort in a journal entry. So we're working on that to see if that's something we can ever do.
Yeah. Okay, and one final thing on the clear zero value lines, it also keeps whatever is the top line, because this is actually a Megan Tarnow request. So it does keep the top line if it's a zero. So just be aware of that if you're using it.
Okay. And there's a long philosophical conversation we can have about that and why that is. Has to do
with
source and headers and details. But she said, bottom line, if the top one's a zero, don't mess with it, because I might need it. I might need it just as an indicator or as a note or something like that.
It could be a use case for that to be there.
Yeah. We should probably do a whole power hour just on like how journal entries behave in reports. Because if you go down the rabbit hole, you will understand why that top line sometimes needs to be set up in a certain way. Okay. All right. So the last thing we're going to talk about is the sort of copy and paste feature. So imagine I'm going to export this journal entry really quick. And the export was actually built so we can test the import. Other people have found the export to be useful for all other situations. But essentially, the reason why the export exists is so we can have a template for, like our own template for the import. So just imagine that you have your own journal entry. And again, once QuickBooks gets their built-in QBO journal entry feature in check and the stuff is working the way it's supposed to work, our feature will probably not have any more need per se. But the nice thing about our feature is that instead of you having to save the CSV file and map it you can just do a copy and paste type action. Sometimes that's easier and or neater for some people. So I'm just going to make some modifications to this journal entry here. Okay. And just assume for a second that we have a journal entry in Excel already. And we used all the awesome features that Excel has, like copying and pasting and find and replace and click and drag down. And we have information here, let's say about classes. So I'll bring this over here. And let's say again, we already have predetermined journal entry with all this information. So I'm going to go here to save a new. So I'm going to start with a blank journal entry. And essentially what I want is I just want to copy and paste this into the journal entry. So I'll select everything in here, click on copy. Okay, just a regular, as if it was a regular copy and paste. Come back into QuickBooks Online and no, I can't just paste in here. That won't work. Okay, unfortunately, that's not how.
We did try that at one point.
We did try that. So we had this little button up there. This one doesn't have a label. It just has the standard copy icon. And you can also do Control-Shift-J to access it. So you can either do Control-Shift-J or click on that button. And then the journal entry pop-up, the paste journal entry pop-up will now allow you to paste in here. So now I can fully paste in here. So if I right-click and click on paste, now it gives me a preview of what's going on, okay? If something doesn't match, like for example, if I have something that doesn't match, but it's approximate to something else, this will be in yellow. And if you can't see color, you're going to see that sort of gray exclamation or that light color exclamation mark right next to it. And I'll let you know that you could check the possibilities of these accounts. And it's because CH is contained in these other accounts and you can select the one that is supposed to be. And if nothing makes sense, like this doesn't match anything on your chart of accounts, it would be red with an X on it, letting you know, hey, if you try to import that, it will be essentially, it will just be blank. Okay, so it'll just be blank. So I'll just give an example to show you that. I click paste in QuickBooks, and it basically makes it feel like you did a copy and paste. It's not really a copy and paste, but for the user, and it's like a copy and paste. Then you can save, put the right account if you had an account that didn't match, and then click on save, and then that would finish the journal entry. So we have one more thing to cover, but we're actually on top of the hour, unless we want to turn this into QB Power Hour 0.25.
Plus.
We will leave, reallocate for another time. Or if you guys want to maybe wrap it up for the people that have to leave and do some extra bonus, we can do that as well.
Yeah, just keep going. The last couple of times we've run over, people got to drop off. That's totally fine. We will have the supports available for replay. So if you do need to come back later and skip ahead to the top of the hour.
Exactly. YouTube, right? It's in YouTube. It's in the Power Hour, QBPowerHour.com website. So if you got to go, you got to go. We get it. But for the people that stay, this is going to blow your mind. If you haven't seen it yet, this is going to blow your mind. This is like truly revolutionary from the perspective of saving time. Like the few people that use this, and it's sometimes a small use case. Few people that use this save hours and hours per month. And they have told us that. Thing is that it's maybe a small group of people that need this feature. So it's called Reallocate in P&L. It's currently under Experiments Pro. This is where we put all the features, our beta per se. This is our beta list of features. And this one, what allows me to do is it allows me to create a journal entry that reallocates amounts sitting in a class, location, or customer project that has not been identified, or one that has been identified as admin or overhead or, quote, to reclass in the future. And instead of you having to go into each of the transactions and divide the transaction by three, because you have three classes or three locations, or divide it by any particular percentage that it's the way your business is composed, you can simply run this tool, the Reallocate from P&L, and basically creates the journal entry for you to automatically reallocate everything that's sitting there. So let's do an example. So I'm going to run a regular P&L on classic reports, and then I'm going to do a P&L by class and click on run report. Okay. Classic situation with classes. I have an overhead class in this case, which is an actual class where people were putting things under, but it's not new construction and it's not remodel. And there's also things sitting on not specified. Now, I'm going to do something really quick. This actually makes it much easier to display. I'm going to edit these classes. So new construction is 1 and remodel is 2. Okay, this just makes the demonstration a lot easier to display. So we'll go back and run a P&L by class. So now they're in order, right? Class 1, class 2, we have an overhead, and then we have the not specified, okay? And this, there's no limit on how many classes this can work on. Actually, the limit is probably going to be 1,000 lines in the journal entries, whatever the math is of all the accounts, all the classes. But for now, we've had people try it with 6, 7, 8 classes, and it's worked just fine. So I'm going to start with overhead. I'm going to reclassify everything that's sitting in my overhead account, and I'm going to spread this across multiple classes. So I'm going to click on this reallocate button that's to the left of the email button for the reports. Again, this is a P&L by class in classic reports. I'm going to click on reallocate. This pop-up comes up, and the first thing that is asking me is, where do you want to get the values from? Do you want to get it from no class or non-specified class or a specific class like this one called overhead? Give me 1 second. This was not showing the number. I wonder if this is going to be an issue. I just changed the name of these classes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a quick refresh.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Just because I just noticed that I removed that number. So I wonder if that's going to cause any issues.
Maybe.
We'll see. So reallocate. Let's get back to it. Now the number is showing. So let's go from overhead. And this is showing me a preview of all the dollar amounts that are sitting in my overhead class for this period in accrual basis in this case. And right now this only works in P&L. We haven't even thought about how this will work with balance sheet, but we're thinking about that too. And also you can choose the type of accounts that you want to see. So let's say I only really want to see expense accounts, or I only want to see other income accounts, or I only want to see whatever it is. So that we'll pick only expenses, the only things that we're going to move. We can remove account numbers if you want to. Again, this has to do with importing journal entries, all that stuff. So I'm going to keep the journal. I'm going to remove the journal entries, the account numbers for now. Then I'm going to go to select all in the top so I can select which accounts I want to reallocate. Click on next. And then it's asking me, how do you want to reallocate these? Okay. So we can do a couple things. We can leave all the ones that are showing. So overhead is already showing there, but just as an example, if I click on split evenly, it'll just split by the number of classes that I have. So that's 33, 33, 33, a third each. If I remove one of them and click on split evenly, it will do 50, 50. And depending on the period, if I have a particular number of expenses or cost of goods sold, depending on the period, and then I can use any of these totals as the indicator to help me figure out what percentages I want to use. So I can click on split proportionally again, and so it will use your total sales, your total expenses, your net income, whatever indicator you want to use to have a more proportional way of allocating. And of course, all this stuff is very discretional. As the accounting professional, as a CFO, whatever, sometimes you'll have a policy where you spread everything evenly, and sometimes you'll have a policy where you do some sort of proportional spread. Some of our nonprofit clients are telling us that they do spread based on hours per employees, per class. That's something you're going to have to calculate externally and figure out what those percentages look like. If you have a lot of classes, one of the things that's very nice that we recently added is there's a little button here that says export percentage to CSV. So whatever this percentage is, you can export. Again, it makes more sense when there's a whole bunch of classes. So I'm going to, or a bunch of locations, whatever you're allocating. So let me bring this in to make this a lot bigger. So basically it's a simple template where it says percentage and class. So if you want to build your own percentage and class table, just export the current one that it has and do your own thing here. Okay. Just put the percentages there. And then with that reallocation, you can click on choose file and import that in. And this was, some people are telling us that they have their own reallocation tables and they don't want to go in there and type it by hand every time. It's a custom one. So we can use the import-export feature to do that. So once you're done, you're going to have two choices. One, you can export to CSV, and it basically just creates a CSV file for us. Let me just zoom this in so you can see this better. So this is option number one, just export the journal entry. Maybe the journal entry, you want to play with it in Excel or something like that to bring it back in, or maybe you just want to preview it. before you import it. Really, the use case is really up to you. I noticed that the classes are being shifted for you. And also we added notes. The notes are very clear. Reallocated 35% to this class, 65% to this class. And then on the other note says reallocated from overhead or reallocated from non-specified. So we pre-added the notes for you so you don't have to really mess too much with the notes. And then we have all the reallocation here. Remember, this journal entry is not going to affect your P&L. Your P&L is going to be the exact same net income. What is going to affect is your profitability per class, profitability per customer project, profitability per location. We're not changing our P&L without these columns. We're changing the individual values within the columns, which is why it's a journal entry within itself. It's a journal entry within the same account. So once you have that journal entry, then you can use the built-in QuickBooks feature to import if you want to. Or of course, we're going to encourage you to use the one that we have with Write Tool, because if you choose copy to clipboard instead of export to CSV, and that really should say copy to clipboard and open new journal entry, but it's usually don't have the space for it. So we click on copy to clipboard.
You only have so much real estate in the button.
Correct. So it copies it to your clipboard and then gives you a pop-up saying, do you want to open a new journal entry, which is typically what we're going to do. Then we click OK. It opens a new tab with the journal entry for you. Remember that journal entry is now saved in your clipboard. Okay. So all you have to do is click on the paste from Excel function I showcased earlier. And now then you come in here and you right click and paste. And now we're pasting this humongous journal entry. And then we click on paste into QuickBooks. And there's the creation of the journal entry. So
Michelle, she's clapping.
Yeah. So the first part of the app is creating the template for you. And the second part of the workflow is to actually save the journal entry for you. So it has to be done in two steps. We cannot do this all in one step. Just we will need the API for that, or somehow create a bunch of delays and a bunch of macros. For now, I think if you're in the position to do this type of work, you're probably going to be slick enough to be able to press all these buttons. But in either case, look, this is a super long journal entry, very precise. Okay. And then we'll just click on save. You can reverse the journal entry. You can delete the journal entry, whatever you want. I mean, there's no way for us to undo the way Transaction Pro or SaaSant allow you to undo an entry. Because again, we're not connecting this via the API. Then I go back into my P&L. I'm going to click on run report. And essentially all of my overhead is now gone. All the overhead, bye-bye overhead, is now gone. And it's now put inside each of the classes the way it's supposed to be. And again, it works with locations. It works with customer projects as well. So if you got customer projects, you can do that.
Michelle's face. I'm just looking at Michelle's reaction. They're like, her jaw is literally on the floor.
Oh my God, Hector and Mark. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I think of how much time this could have saved me for so many years. Oh my gosh. This is amazing. This feature right here alone is just worth it. It's incredible. You can tell this is one piece of this tool for Buku, just that one feature right there. I absolutely love this. This is amazing.
Thank you, Michelle.
Incredible. Everybody's talking about nonprofits there, but not just nonprofits, but also for those construction clients that are allocating overhead to the jobs. When you want to allocate owner's time to the jobs, when you want to allocate those nonprofits, the overhead to the job, anything that you're wanting to allocate. Oh my gosh, this is so incredible. And how much time it's going to save. Oh, I love this.
Yeah. Thank you. And worth pointing out. Okay. So we did this with a specific class, overhead class. We can also do this with the ones that don't have any class. Okay. Not specified. Now, one thing I do want to point out, we are not going into every single transaction and splitting the transaction up for you. The transactions are being left intact. We're doing a full fix of this. We're just doing a journal entry. We're cleaning it up for reports, only for reports. Okay. And one thing to remember, and this is kind of something that we probably need to save a whole episode just to talk about how journal entries work. But once you turn on the ability to do adjusting entries, which you don't see here because I'm not logged in as an accountant, then you can create an adjusting entry, and then you can pick whether you want to see the P&L with the journal, with the adjusting or without the adjusting, something that we don't have a chance to get into. But I do want to show you one more thing, and this is a bonus. Is we still have over 140
bonus power hour plus time.
Yeah. So this is a feature that's been pretty quiet, just because you have to be like a super uber nerd to play with this feature, which is called the scripts. Okay. Now, ever since ChatGPT started existing, basically, and I started obsessing with it, I started playing with ChatGPT and trying to figure out if I can get ChatGPT to teach me how to code. Long story short, I didn't learn how to code, but ChatGPT can write the code for me. One of the things that people were asking, for example, is, Hector, could you add a button that will save this transaction, reverse it, and then save it for me? Literally, somebody wants to save this click, save, and then reverse, and then save. Okay, that was only 2 or 3 clicks. Okay, it's really not a big deal. I normally would have dismissed that and go, hey, person, don't be so lazy. Okay, that was like one tiny little click. But supposedly our ethos is, we'll save you clicks, we'll save you seconds. And that almost was a second. So like it qualifies. So I'm not going to bother Mark with, hey, go develop this button, this save and immediately reverse. So what I did is I went to ChatGPT, and it's complicated. So I took the HTML code, pasted it in ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm trying to automate this process. I want to click save. I want to click reverse. I want to click on save again. I want to change the date. I want to do all these things. And then ChatGPT came back and said, yeah, the code would look like this. And then what I do was called, I created what's called a bookmarklet format, which is essentially what we allowed to do in the script section. So if you actually have the code, which in the slides here where it says bonus, the code is here for you. You literally would have to just copy and paste that code from the slides, copy and paste that into the script section. So we come in here onto scripts, we click on add script, we paste the code. Again, you don't have to know any code for now. But then once you start nerding out, getting into ChatGPT and have it build codes for you, you can build your own scripts inside Write Tool. And then you can start experimenting things and come back to us and get, Hector, look what I built. And then once we have time, I'll go bother Mark and Joel and Patrick, our development team, and say, hey, it looks like this is catching on. Let's build this into a hard code this into a Write Tool. So we'll call this save and reverse journal entry, something like that. We save it. And then while you're in a journal entry, just watch, single click. I click on my script. It will save, it will reverse, and it will save again. And all this stuff happened without me clicking anything. So again, probably not like the most powerful time-saving feature, but it's just a good illustration on what we built that in. And the reason why script was built, it was for me. I told Mike, I want to play with ChatGPT. And a lot of the features that we have added has been because I play with it, I add the feature, then I send the code over to Mark, and then Mark figures out whether the code can be worked verbatim or does it need to be reworked, but at least I work out all the logic and all the kinks in the process. So that's the little bonus thing I wanted to show you.
Just there's playground is what it is, right?
Correct, that's the playground. So I don't know if you want to run the last polling question, and I'll let Mark point out anything that I may have missed.
I think most of the time, if you miss something, I would point it out in the moment. So I think you're good.
And Mark, I'm very upset, Mark, that you interrupted me and you didn't let me speak at all.
Yep. Honest to God, I was worried. Sure.
So do you even breathe?
I don't breathe. I don't breathe.
You but are
Kenny G. He can breathe in and exhale at the same time.
You're amazing as always, Hector. This stuff is really great. You and Mark have done an amazing job with this. And I haven't seen it for a while, some of these latest updates you guys have done. And I'll tell you, I am very impressed. As a lot of people are saying on here, the latest stuff that you guys have been doing is incredible. I haven't seen these latest things, and I'm more impressed than ever.
And you guys have been nice enough to offer a discount for Pro. For the QB Power Hour community, if you use QBPH when you activate the Pro, you will get a discount for that first year of using these features. So clearly, if you're not saving the time with what you just demonstrated with the reallocation, a little extra savings that first year to get used to these things, and then boom, next year you're all off to the races. Lauren said, "Worth every penny." Nice.
Yeah, just pricing in general, very odd situation because we said we don't connect per company, we connect per user. So it's a tough balance because there are some people who get an excess of the subscription cost of value back. And then there's other people who are just getting started and they're still in their infancy in their business. And it's like, it's a little bit more tough to justify. So it's a hard thing to always get it just right.
All right. And Hector and Mark, we appreciate you joining us and donating your time here today. I know you guys are super busy and we really appreciate everything that you do for the accounting community as well, because this allows some people to make, what was it again? Is make QuickBooks pleasurable again?
Pleasant, yeah.
Pleasant. Yeah. There we go.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. And Dan, as always, thank you very much.
All right. We'll see you next time on the QB Power Hour. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the QB Power Hour podcast. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them in our Facebook group. You can find those resources and much more at qbpowerhour.com.